Tony Broom Ministries presents the following Bible teaching session from Isaiah chapter 40, entitled, Our Great God. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. That's a well-known song, and it's a good thought to think of the greatness of our God. When our children begin to pray, we teach them the blessing. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. By his hands we all are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. Amen. There was a time when we taught that blessing in school. Now you're not even allowed hardly to speak his name in school anymore unless it's in a derogatory way. That's a pathetic way that our nation has come to, but we used to teach the Bible in school. We would not teach necessarily the Bible, but at least we would teach lessons that came from the Bible. We would teach devotion. We had devotion in school, and they taught prayer. Every day, you would go to school, and before the class would begin, you would have a devotion, some kind of devotion or scripture reading from the Bible. The teacher and even some of the students would pray. Am I really that out of whack? Does anybody else know what I'm talking about? The teachers would pray, the students would pray, and you would say allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And all these things were done in school, public school, because that's what our nation was built on. You see an absence of that today, and you see where we are. Our God is great. Our great God. That's the title of our session this time. God's greatness is manifested not only through his divine attributes, and that has to do with his character, but also in his personal care for his own. He cares for his own. It doesn't matter how bleak things look around us. And you can say something from the Bible about the greatness of God and about how wonderful he is and about how much he cares for his own. And it seems so opposite of what the way things look all around us. But it doesn't matter how things look, because the things that are seen, Paul says, are temporal. The things that are not seen are eternal. We do not look and focus on the things that are seen. We cannot help but look at them. We have to deal with them, but we're not focused. We're not bound by the things that are seen. We focus on the things that are not seen. And no matter how things look around us, God still cares for his own. God has not changed in his attributes. The attributes of God, his holiness, his righteousness, his love, his care is present in all persons of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He is a God who is God, holy, righteous, loving. And it's not only is his greatness seen in that, but his greatness is seen in his care for his own. He cared for Israel. They didn't care much about him. But he cared for them, and he cares for the church. He cares for you and I every day. Great is thy faithfulness. Our golden text is Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. It's a well-known verse. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. This verse tells us that God is great. And those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. That word in Hebrew is change. The strength will change. It looks like it's getting weak, but it will change. It will be strong. They will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. Run, not be weary. You mount up with wings as eagles. That's the young man. You run and you're not weary. That's the middle age. And you walk and you can walk without fainting. That's the older. We may not can soar, we may not can fly, but we can run, and if you can't run, you can walk. One old guy said, if you can't walk, at least you can shuffle around. Try to get there the best you can, but God will help us. That verse is meant to teach us that even if you cannot fly, you can run, and even if you cannot run, you can walk, but God will be there to help you. And the secret is to wait upon the Lord. God's comfort and enduring word. His word has been used all through the ages to be a comfort, the source of strength and encouragement for his people. And it's no different starting in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The good news is comfort. He could have said judgment. He could have said plagues and pestilence. There were times when he said that, but now he says comfort. God's people need comfort. Israel needed comfort. Jerusalem needed comfort. And God's people today need to be comforted. And he says, speak comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. She's been through a siege. She's been through captivity. She's been through a hard time. But now her warfare is accomplished and her iniquity is pardoned. When God speaks pardon to our soul, that is comfort indeed. To know that your sins are forgiven, to know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, to know that you're washed in His blood, is a comfort. We have comfort even though the seas around us are turbulent, even though the mountains shake and fall into the depths of the sea. The psalm says, our God is still faithful, and He will show Himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect with Him. Cry to Jerusalem that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. She has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. She's gone through all this suffering, and now it's time to be comforted. And we have the prophecy of the coming of what we know is John the Baptist, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Sounds like a lot of equality. People are crying about equality and justice and peace and all these things today about not being equal. Well, if you want equality, come to the Lord. There's nothing else more equal and fair, more than fair, than the things of God. He said, I will take the valleys, those low places, and straighten them out. I will exalt them. Those high mountains and hills brought low, the crooked shall be made straight. And I know it's talking about the crooked roads and places, but there's a lot of crookedness that needs to be made straight, brothers and sisters, in the day that we live in. God says it's going to be made straight. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain or smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. That last clause in that verse, it's not in your printed text, but it says that the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. If God has spoken something with His mouth, you can rest assured that it's going to happen. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, and all shall see the glory of the Lord, and His salvation will be revealed. It will be revealed because a Savior is coming. We celebrate His birth at Christmas time, and we celebrate His resurrection at Easter time. Jesus, the Son of God, is to come into the world. And here is a forerunner of Christ, one that would come looks like Elijah, smells like Elijah, eats like Elijah, dresses like Elijah. He's not Elijah, but he's John the Baptist. And he comes blazing a trail for the Lord, the voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." The voice said, "Cry," and he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is as grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. What do you want me to say? What do you want me to cry? Looks like everything is bad. Looks like everybody's getting sick and dying and suffering. It looks like things are falling apart. Looks like businesses can't go on and things cannot prosper. What do you want me to cry? Looks like all flesh is grass, and the flower of the fields fading away. The grass withereth. The flower thereof fades because the Spirit of the Lord is blowing upon it. Looks like it's being judged. Surely the people is like grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever." That will be the only thing that will stand. When business is closed for the last time, when all the things in this world, Peter tells about it in 2 Peter chapter 3, are burned up, and all the elements will melt with fervent heat, and you can't go to the bank anymore, and you can't go to the store anymore, and all these things are done away with, you got to have something that will endure. And if you're looking at these things that are temporal, the temporal things that are passing away, fleeting moments of life, we all have to have business, we all have to have things that we do, but these are not the real things that are important in life. The real things that are important in life is not like the grass and the flower, the field that just fades away. It's the Word of God that endures forever. And this is so important that it's quoted again in 1 Peter chapter 1. The grass withers. The flower, beautiful flowers. Looks like the older you get, the more you like flowers, doesn't it? Is that a preparation for the casket and grave or what? I'm not sure what it is. We're getting older, we like flowers. Somebody said, "You better like them, you'll be covered up with them." Well, flowers are beautiful, but the flower fades away. But the word of our God endures forever. And his word will never pass away. He is king, he is shepherd, and he is, the book says, omniscient sage. That means that he knows everything. Sage is someone that's real wise, a wise person. There's no one more wise than our Lord. He is the wise one. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. And it reminds me of that chorus that we sing. He has defeated the grave. Lift it up. Lift it up. And he encourages them here. Lift up your voice. You have good news to tell. Don't allow the things around you to make you ashamed where you cannot share the good news. Go up into the high mountain. Get you a pulpit. It's an Old Testament version of a PA system. Turn the master up and blast it out. Share the good news. Lift up your voice. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. We're talking about the great God, our great God. Behold, the Lord will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. We're talking about our great King and our God. Scripture says that his throne is forever in heaven and rules over all, is settled in the heavens, and he rules over everything. His work is before him. His reward is with him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. The one who is king is also shepherd. There is no other like him. David was king and David was shepherd, but he was just a forerunner. He was just a type of the real king, the real shepherd, who is our Lord Jesus. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. He takes care. When you're real weak, when you are with young, or ladies, when you are with child, you're fragile. Things need to be taken care of. And that's the way He is with those that are the sheep, that are weak, and cannot hardly stand on their own. If you need to be carried, He'll carry you. He'll carry you in His bosom. He'll lead you gently along. He won't drive you. Like some preachers, they might drive you. That's not a shepherd. That's a horse driver. God's not that way. He will lead you along, and He'll help you up when you fall. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? It takes a great God to do that. He can weigh the whole earth in a scale. He knows how much it weighs. He knows the dust of the earth. He knows the dirt of the mountains. He knows all of it. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor, hath taught Him? Who can teach God? There's no one like God. With whom took He counsel, and who instructed Him and taught Him in the path of judgment, and taught Him knowledge, and showed to Him the way of understanding? Nobody did. God is God all by Himself, and He is the one who directs us. We don't direct God. This neo-Christianity that we live in now, you can tell God what to do, and you can direct Him. That's not the way the Bible is. God is still God, and we are His children. God is the master, and we are still the servant. God is the father, and we are the sons and daughters. Sons and daughters are not supposed to tell daddy and mama what to do. We're not to tell God what to do. We can ask, and we can believe, and we can receive, but He is the one who tells us what to do. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as a small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. He can fling an island like nothing, like throwing a pebble in a brook of water. It's nothing. The nations are like a drop of a bucket compared to our great big God. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. You cannot give God anything that would make Him say, "Oh, looky there. Man, I'm really impressed with that. Did y'all see that? Look what Tony did." No, God is not that way. We don't have anything of self-merit and righteousness to impress God with. All nations before Him are as nothing. They are counted to Him less than nothing and vanity. The Scripture says that man at his very best state is altogether vanity. Without God, we're absolutely nothing. God is King. He is the Shepherd. He is Lord. God's supreme reign. He will reign forever and ever. The song said, "Our God reigns." To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto Him? What can you use or come up with to compare to be like God? Verses 19 and 20 talks about the great detail one would go through to make a dumb idol. Though He does not concern Himself whatsoever with anything like an oblation that He could offer to God. You go through this great detail in planning, and you can read this in Isaiah. It talks about one who would go out into the wood to choose a special kind of wood to cut it down and deck it and make all this, go through detail to make all this God that can't hear and can't save and can't see and can't do anything. And that's us. If we're not careful, we have these plans that we go through, all these details of making something that was going to be here today and gone tomorrow. And you go all through this detail to make this dumb idol that cannot hear you when you pray and cannot help you when you're down. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? God is saying you should be able to know my greatness. It's been talked about a long time. You've heard you grandmother talk about it. You've heard your Sunday school teacher talk about it. You've heard the preacher preach about it and slobber about it. And you've heard the singer sing about it. It's been told you before. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That's our God. He's a great God. He brings the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. God can put up one and set down another. Doesn't matter what kind of fraud you can use. It doesn't matter what they do about the election. God is still God, and he's still king. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. That's our God. He's still in control. To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Lord, the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one faileth. That's our great God. He knows the name of every animal. He knows the name of every sparrow. And when they fall, he sees the sparrow when it falls. And it's been said that he attends the funeral of every sparrow who falls. He knows the names. They can change their name. They can try to hide their social security number. They can pretend to be legal when they're not. They can go from one country to another. But God knows who you are. He knows what your name is. He knows your address. He knows where you really live and where you pretend to live. He knows all about it. He knows where your real residency and citizenship is. He knows if you got your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what he knows. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? That song says he is the everlasting God, the everlasting God. That course was written from this scripture. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. If you have no strength, if you have little strength, he gives power to the faint. To those who have no might, he increases their strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Scripture tells us not to trust in your strength just because you're young and vibrant. Don't trust in that. It's just fleeting. Your life is a vapor, James said. Appears for a time and then vanishes away. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. If you're that young man, you can soar like eagles. If you're the middle age, you can run. If you're older, you may have to walk. Whatever it is, God will help us to be able to take our stand for him. Do what we need to do in the last days. You say, well, all I can do is just wait. Well, if all you can do is just wait, wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Well, all I can do is pray. Well, that's what you should do, is pray. Prayer is the greatest thing you can do. So many people need prayer today, and we say that, well, all I can do is pray. No, that's the most you can do. We need people to pray. If you can run, run. If you can walk, walk. Whatever you can do. We may have to crawl sometimes, but that's all right. God will help us. We wait upon the Lord. He is a great God. We praise him today with his greatness and goodness. Father, thank you for the opportunity. Have this word from Isaiah chapter 40. Pray you'd bless it to our hearts and encourage your people. Strengthen your people with that strength that you talked about. They who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I pray for the strength of the inner man, God's people today. Your sons and your daughters will be made strong in the power of the Lord and the glory of His might. I pray that many would come to know You as Lord and Savior. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching session from Isaiah chapter 40, entitled Our Great God. Jesus Christ wants to be your Savior and Lord today. Make Him so, and you will enjoy a life with our great God. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.